Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello again, everyone. It is Andrea with the Profitable Practice Podcast, and we have another wonderful interview for you. Now, Priya Prakash has been a colleague of mine since naturopathic school. We graduated at the same time, and she has always had this beautiful entrepreneurial spirit, and I've really watched as her business has grown. She has created SmartND, so she's created her own sort of online software with her husband. She has a child. So that's really why I wanted to bring her onto the show, is to have a really frank discussion around blocking your schedule properly so you can balance life and running a business. And that's not to say that work-life balance exists, because usually something has to give, but you need to have some sort of a balance between the two. If you're 100% into your business, of course your family is going to miss you and you're not going to be as involved with them. If you're 100 into your family, then you're not going to be as successful in the business. So we really dive into a lot of the blocking and how to really make sure that when you are working, you're 100% focused on working. When you're at home, you're 100% focused on your family. And with that being said, I've actually created a download for you that helps you kind of create your beast mode time, if you will. So if you go to my website, maximizebusiness.ca/beast mode, you can download that free worksheet, and it helps you kind of map out how you can block your schedule so that during certain periods of time, you're creating, you're working on the business, you're not getting caught up in the admin, you're not doing your emails, you're not doing your phone calls, but this is just about you developing and taking action on your business and holding true to that time. So one more time, that's maximizebusiness.ca/beast mode. And without further ado, let's get to Priya. So Priya is basically the definition of a multipreneur. She has had an entrepreneurial spirit during naturopathic school as the founder of Shanti Tea, and it has only grown since. And what I mean by that is her entrepreneurial spirit has only grown since. So along with running a practice now, she's also a mama and a mama-to-be and the co-founder of SmartND, which is a cloud-based EMR system. Priya and her hubby are true partners in life and in business. All of Priya's businesses are created with her husband by her side as a partner. They started off with no money and no business background, and together they have created a wonderful life together. So thank you so much, Priya, for being on the show today.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled that you're having me here.
Now, we have to know a little bit more about sort of your story and what kind of really got you into even thinking about running a business, let alone starting a business while you were in school.
So the entrepreneurial kind of spirit, it's a little bit of both of us, you know? So I never imagined in my life that I'd be in business. That was never something that I had set out to do. I knew that I wanted to be a doctor and then discovered naturopathic medicine. And that was really my goal from the beginning. It was all about medicine. I did not ever have a business hat. But the one thing that I did know right from, you know, a young age is that I never wanted to work for someone. You know, I had had jobs and, you know, I had several different employers, things like that, just like all of us have in our teens and, you know, 20s, that kind of thing. And it just never sat well with me. So I always knew, you know, at least being a naturopathic doctor, and that was not the reason that I went into it, but, you know, I knew that I am my own boss and I can do what I want, how I want to do it. So that was my spirit coming into it. But running other businesses, never in my mind. My husband, on the other hand, his actual training is in architecture and engineering, things like that, and computer related stuff. But since childhood, he has always had that entrepreneurial, like, I want to run a business, right? So right from, you know, probably a lemonade stand when he was a little child to like all kinds of little businesses. He used to build furniture and sell it. He used to, you know, all kinds of little silly businesses as a teenager, as a child, as a teenager and growing up, but none of them really took, you know, none of them really stuck out. And so, but you know, that never stopped him. And that's the thing about being an entrepreneur is that you try all these different ideas and most of them will fail. He's a really great carpenter and he had this little business, making wooden jewelry. And it was great, beautiful jewelry, like amazing jewelry. Did it take off? No, absolutely not. Could it have? Probably, but you know, it wasn't his passion. It just sort of sat there. In second year of when we were in naturopathic college, sort of when we were studying for NCLEX, honestly, it was just a kind of funny story how he got, a strange story how he got into it. It was very random and he somehow got interested in tea. And I was always a tea fanatic. I was always, you know, drinking tea, talking about it, that type of thing. And he just kind of came up to me with this idea of, you know what, we should really build a business out of this. And I'm like, are you crazy? And he started just kind of going into it. But the more I realized the feasibility of this, because there wasn't, what we were trying to build, there wasn't anything like that in Canada, a kind of a supplier of organic teas. There weren't as many. So I went along with it and we put two and two together, all of our expertise, and we just started it. It actually started as this small, tiny little thing in our apartment that we were renting. You know, I never imagined how it would grow. You know, today we have a warehouse, we have staff, we have management, we have, you know, and we're supplying all across North America. We have clients that are supplying all across the world, actually. And it just, you know, it grew from there and we did not have any business experience. We made so many mistakes. We didn't know anything. And, you know, part of what I learned was from our business class in school.
You're kidding. Because I think everyone would disagree with you that they learned anything from the business class at school. But for me, I really paid attention. Like, I actually found that there were a lot of valuable aspects to it. So I think it's great that you're bringing that up. Because
absolutely,
if
right.
You pay attention,
really get our accounting and everything set up here properly, and not just, you know, go kind of by the fly. So I took to heart some of that stuff and learned early on how to actually put that into practice, so that by the time I started my actual practice, I had a lot of experience in what does not work. And what has failed, and how I don't want to make those mistakes again. And that's it. It's making mistakes, failing, learning from them, and picking it up and doing it differently the next time.
So let's elaborate a little bit on that, because I find, at least for myself, I know we love hearing the success stories. And I mean, your tea business is not just a little mom and pop tea business. Like, you are Canada's largest distributor of organic teas, are you not?
Yeah, of exclusively organic teas. Yes,
right.
Absolutely. And you know, I never imagined that it would become that.
Yeah, of course. But of course, getting there couldn't have been like an easy path. And then, I mean, doing all of this while you're studying for NCLEX 1, I think is a crazy idea as well. But you just kind of roll with it, right? You just go with what happens.
Yeah.
So from an entrepreneurial perspective, whether it's a practice or whether it's starting a business, there's always things that you're going to learn the hard way in the beginning. And then, of course, it gets easier afterwards. So what were some of those few little hiccups that you found, whether it's with the tea, whether it was starting your practice, that you're like, oh, you know, I'm so glad that I learned, but this is what I should have been doing?
Oh, gosh, you know, when you that question, kind of, there's an overwhelming number of mistakes that come flooding because we have so many business, like multiple businesses, kind of four entities. There are many, many things. So it's hard to just pick kind of, you know, one. One of the main things that we kind of learned is that you really need to put systems into place, right? Mm-hmm. Systems could be, you know, the way, like something as simple as your bookkeeping and accounting, right? You know, if you don't do that and set that up properly at the beginning, and because a lot of us tend to procrastinate and we kind of just go into it and we procrastinate and, you know, we're not setting things up properly at the beginning or delegating certain things because yes. we might not be good at it. We might not have any clue how to do that, right? And, you know, you learn the hard way because you realize just how disorganized your money is or disorganized your marketing strategies are, or, you know, whatever it may be, is learning those systems and putting them into place was a huge learning curve for us, right? And the bigger and bigger our business got, the more and more we realized, wow, we are in over our heads and we will crumble if we don't put something into place, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, when you're managing a team of staff, you might have, you know, certain kind of employees all the way from packing tea to people that are working more on upper level management.
Sure.
And there's turnover of employees. And so not having those systems really nearly almost kind of killed our business, right? And so we kind of re-strategized everything and we learned a lot from other people and other business people that are successful in business. I had a business coach for some time early on, sort of when I started my practice in 2011. And I learned so much from that. And I realized, you know what, we're doing it all wrong. We need to stop. We need to take a step back and we need to put certain systems into place before this whole thing falls apart. And it's hard because you get trapped because you're so busy.
Yes.
Right. When you start this business, you're so busy because you have this and that to do. And it was a hard lesson that we had to just kind of say, you know what, we're putting a hold on all of this and we need to rethink how we're doing this and kind of focusing in on what is most important and what's not, and letting go of what's not important, what's not working. Mm-hmm. Right. If there are some marketing strategies that are not working for you, drop it.
Yes.
Right. If there are products that are not selling, as much as you might love those products, drop it. Right. So we streamlined and we delegated. Right. The other trap that you fall into is the financial trap of, you know, I can't afford this. So, for example, having a bookkeeper and an accountant.
Right.
We used to do everything on our own. That was one of the biggest mistakes. and some people might be great at it. Right.
Yes.
But it's either, you know, you're really good at it, but you don't have the time to really put into it, or you're terrible at it and, you know, you just shouldn't be doing it. And so, you know, when you have multiple businesses, the bill for the accountant is huge. It's massive. You look at that number, the quote that you get and you're like, oh gosh, I can't afford this. I don't have this money. But we realized that we couldn't afford not to.
Right.
Right? And so we put those systems into place and delegated and hired staff, even though we didn't have the money for it. We took a risk, right?
Yes, of course.
And made more money as a result because our time was then put to
better use.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, and I am completely and 100% on board with everything that you're saying, even within my own practice. And I've been talking to new grads and I've been coaching with them. And that is sort of the biggest hang up is, as a new graduate, you want the patient retention. But without a system in place to get them back in, and what happens if you lose track of them? What's your system to call mm-hmm. them back? Or, you know, so you've completed the initial chief concern. What is your system then to keep them coming back in over the course of a year? All of those are systems, as
Absolutely.
Well as the administrative stuff, as well as the invoicing, the billing, all of that are systems. So with what you've learned, what would you say really helped to implement your practice when you first started, if you can remember, with regards to systems that maybe you didn't have a place and you do now, but you were just like, this helps things streamline so much easier so that I can manage my practice, see patients, and you don't have to think so much, because that's the best part about systematic mechanisms,
yeah.
right? Is it takes away a lot of the remembering and the guessing and things like that.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I put systems into place regarding my Everything from, for example, scheduling people in and when to call them back, when, you know, reminders of, okay, this person needs to come in for a follow-up at this time, but I'm not going to remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So putting in systems, that is a huge part of patient retention, is that some people just want to come back, but they might not have a reminder that they need to book in at this time, right? And so they might, if you don't have that booking when they leave, well, at least there's a system in place that reminds you, you need to follow up with them.
Yes.
You know, constantly. So that was a big thing. And actually that ties into one of the main reasons that I started the software SmartMD is because I was kind of crumbling with managing everything in my practice and
their
services and everything. And, you know, I was using another program and it just wasn't working for me. Things weren't automated enough. And, you know, the story goes that I was literally sitting in my living room. I had, you know, it was just so overwhelmed and I was kind of yelling at my computer and I kind of looked at my husband and said, can't you just build me something, right? Because he had a programming background. And, you know, we looked at each other and he said, well, yeah, but let's do this. Like, let's actually do this and put this out there. And so a lot of those systems are, you know, being implemented so that it automates everything. And there are places for you to remind yourself that, you know, this person's lab work is coming back. You need to follow up with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Little reminders of all kinds of things, but it's all automated and it's systematized, so it takes the work away from it, right?
And I have colleagues. I will be completely honest with you, Priya. I am so old school when it comes to charting, so I'm still doing it pen to paper. But I have colleagues that are using your SmartMD software, and she was just telling me, she's like, I can't believe that it does this, and I can't believe that I just put in acupuncture points, and they tell me what other acupuncture points I should think about. Like, your system is so intuitive, and what makes it intuitive is that you are an ND creating a system for NDs.
Exactly.
There's a whole difference between people that create software that they think NDs would like versus someone who's in the trenches and you're like, this is what
Absolutely.
Works for me.
Every little decision that was made stemmed from something about my practice, about how I was practicing, that bothered me, that, you know, that I was failing in, right? Like, I've had times where I've had admin staff do everything for me, and times where I haven't, right? And when you don't have a receptionist or admin staff kind of keeping track of all of that stuff, it's very difficult for you to manage everything and still have a life, right? So all of those little things were just ideas that, you know, wouldn't it be cool if, wouldn't it be nice if, wouldn't it make my life so much easier if we had something like this? And that's why we developed those various features, right?
Now, how is developing these businesses as well as running a practice and then including being a family, like, as well, because you're working alongside your husband, which not everybody could do. You were pregnant at the time that SmartMD
launched.
And now you have your son.
Busy toddler.
So let's talk about the life work balance now that you've had to implement, because you said yourself you have what, three different businesses that are kind of running right now? Your clinic, the T, the SmartMD.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you have to be.
The clinic is sort of almost a separate entity from my perspective, running a multidisciplinary clinic than my own practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So almost like four kind of things that I'm running. And yes, that by far has been my biggest struggle that I'm constantly striving for right from the beginning. It was not easy running this tea. Like, at the time we just had the tea business and I was starting my practice, and I thought that was busy at the time. I didn't have children.
Right.
But yet, you know, we were just running ourselves ragged. And sometimes, you know what, that is necessary. Sometimes when you're starting off, you know, there isn't any magic thing aside from hard work and busting your butt
mm-hmm.
that will get you out there. And, you know, I think you've said it in previous podcasts, and I think probably every business coach, everyone experienced in business will say this, is that, you know, it doesn't just come easy, right? You need to work your butt off, and that is much easier when you don't have children, right, as I'm sure you've experienced. Not to say that it's impossible, but...
the focus is just segmented. Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Right. So I always tell anyone who, you know, comes in preceptors with me, get all this stuff done before you have kids. Right. But yes, it was absolutely a struggle. And that's one of the main reasons that I started working with a business coach. Right. And that is another thing that people will look at it and say, wow, that's a lot of money.
Yep.
Right. But it is one of the most important things to look to people who have success, who have been there, who have done that, and who are kind of at the top already, managing all these things and being successful at the work-life balance, right? So I found a very specific business coach. It wasn't just, it has to be right for you. And she was a business coach that was a woman that had three kids, that had three businesses, that did it all and was kind of trying to train people on how to manage that and still have a life and be present for your children. Mm-hmm. So I took some courses in that. And, you know, and it took a lot of kind of changing things, restructuring things, and learning that I cannot do it all. Right. You know, and I did do it all. I did bust my butt for a long time. And that's how I grew my practice. And I swear to you, that was my success is, mm-hmm. you know, I did, you know, we did not have money. Right. And it's not like my husband had a job or anything.
Right.
We're both in business. We didn't
right.
have. So there was a certain degree of fire under us that if we need to eat and pay rent, we need to go out and get our clients, right?
Yes.
And so that was my drive at the beginning is there is no choice. We need to make money and we need to get out there. But later on when there was a little bit more steadiness, I realized I can't sustain this for much longer.
Yes.
You know, like it isn't a healthy lifestyle. I'm trying to practice what I preach, you know, but there were always some sacrifices, right?
Yes.
So maybe I was sleeping well and eating well, but the exercise piece dropped, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it could have been the opposite. So there was always some little part that, you know, didn't work out. And it was really through working with this business coach and learning systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Putting those systems into place.
Yep.
And delegating, right? As much as you think that it's scary to pay someone all this money to do this and to do that and get staff and hire people and spend more money, it actually, the return is quite significant. And we would not be able to run four businesses and have a child and a second one soon without all of this. It would be possible, right? So every year I feel like I'm getting one step closer to that.
Yes.
Balance, right?
And
yeah.
Do you have anything that are sort of like hard limits? Like, I will not let this happen when it comes to my personal life. For instance, I will not miss putting my child to bed. I will not miss so many dinners. Like, you have to set those up too, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
schedule them in and say, these are the days that I'm not going to do any work. So for me, Friday predominantly when I watch Aria, those are my free days. I don't want to hustle. I don't want to work hard. I just want to play and take a nap. And
absolutely. Yes. So for me on a personal level, what I have never compromised on that other people might be able to is sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot function without my 8 hours of sleep. You know, sometimes that doesn't happen and learning, you know, I had a terrible sleeper for the first year. So I did not sleep for the last
right.
year. However, aside from that, I will not ever compromise on sleep and I will not ever compromise on my child and my family time, right? So my time with my husband. And so we have to, you know, I set a limit to my schedule and no matter what, I am done. I close my computer, I go home, I am there, right? For when we pick him up from daycare, have dinner, playtime, all bath time, all that stuff, except for one day a week that I work late and my husband takes over for that
sure.
stuff. I'm there, right? And, you know, and family time and just, you know, time between us, right? Because
absolutely
working together in business all the time, it isn't always easy, right?
Yes.
There's a way that we had to work together to get to that point, but part of it was that we strictly implemented some kind of ways that we make sure that we're reconnecting on a personal level. No business talk allowed, whether
Right.
it's date nights or just, weekends, we're not doing anything. Right. And we have the privilege now that we can say that. And it wasn't always like that. And to be honest, many times it isn't. There are times when, my husband is up working. If we have a software update, all the guys, our programming staff, like, and my husband, they're up all night long. Right.
Right.
For a long, long time. And that's just how it is. Right. But
Yep.
there's a give and take, there's an up and down, ebbs and flows.
And do you find that by you blocking your schedule to allow you those freedoms to step outside of business and be more in your personal life, has that affected your bottom line in any way?
Absolutely. I mean, it allows me to be, it allows me to take a break from the business hat, right? And be me, right? And the more that I can do that, the more I can actually dedicate myself and focus myself when I'm, present with my patients, for example, and working on my business. I know that's the time to do that, but I don't feel deprived, right? If you're working, 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 your business will suffer because you'll always feel a lack of time or a lack of this or that for your personal life. And so, absolutely putting those boundaries into place and scheduling that in has made a tremendous change in just my happiness, and my mood and my energy levels, that kind of thing. Yeah.
And the reason why I wanted to ask that is because I find and working in a practice that I'm an associate with, they're expecting their second child as well. And now instead of taking more time away from the practice, which I feel they've earned, the husband is now stepping up to the plate and working 6 full days a week and maybe getting off early on Wednesday. And I keep asking them, I say, well, at this stage where you've developed the clientele, you have the patients, don't you think you could start allowing yourself a bit more freedom to reconnect with your family, to recharge, to maybe spend a bit more time on marketing outside of the clinic instead of always hustling and treating patients? And I find that that's where people miss out a little bit is that they're so afraid to block off their time. They're so afraid to take extra days off because they're worried, well, what will happen to my patients? Will they not come back if I don't meet their every single need? And I think what you're saying is so important because if you're not able to run your business well and we're the face of our business, your patients are going to see that. If you're constantly fatigued in front of them, if you're forgetting things, if you are not able to think clearly because you're constantly worried about their schedule, not your own, I can't see that working out very well in the long run.
And one of the things that I realized actually on my maternity leave, and I think you spoke about that too in a previous podcast, is, I only took about 3 months off, because, the reality is that, yeah, if you take a year off, it is difficult, right?
Yes.
However, when I came back, I didn't come back full time. I came back very, very, very part time. And compacting my schedule, I didn't realize how much time I was wasting prior to that, right?
I
I
know.
didn't realize how many patients and how many things I can get done when I know that I have a child that, I'm still nursing and I need to get back to that child because he has no milk.
Yeah.
And so I compacted my schedule so much that I realized, wow, I am seeing quite a lot of patients and relatively, yes, I was relatively making less money, but for the amount of time that I'm spending, the money was pretty good, right?
Sure.
Was still quite good, but had I not had that maternity leave or a child, I wouldn't have realized just how much time I'm wasting, right? How inefficient I'm being.
Yeah. Are there any other aspects of what you've learned? Because you said you weren't a business person at all. What were some of those big key eye-opening moments that you're like, man, like that makes so much sense when it comes to running a business that you can share?
This isn't a particular situation or anything, but one of the biggest lessons that I had to learn is becoming comfortable with taking risks, right? Because every time you do anything in business, whether just starting a business or putting out money for something or marketing yourself and putting yourself out there in the public, right? You're taking a risk and it's scary. And, most of us that don't, especially as doctors that don't have that business hat, we're not used to that, right?
That's right.
And it's completely out of our comfort zone. And to be perfectly honest, at the beginning, I was never a public speaker, right? I was probably, that was probably the one thing that I hated the most in school, going to high school and university, that kind of thing. I hated public speaking. I had to get out of my own way. I had to, not stop caring about what other people thought of me. I had to stop caring about judgment and put myself out there. And public speaking was actually my number one way that I actually got clients, that I got patients, that I built my practice and my reputation was going out there and going out there and going out there and getting used to being terrified, right? And
Yes.
now it's different, right? I can comfortably speak in front of a large crowd and not think twice about it, but I was terrified at the beginning, right? Absolutely. So it, and the risks, not just risks related to that, there's financial risks, right? That's also a big one that I've seen a lot of people is that, if things aren't going so well in their practice, let me get a part-time job, right? Well, if you get a part-time job, you're completely losing focus, and then you have not as much drive, right? And I understand that sometimes you have to do what you have to do, but you need that drive in order to
You need that no
push.
plan B approach, like what you guys had.
Exactly. Exactly, where there is no choice and you just need to get out there. So the risk taking, honestly, that was my biggest lesson is I need to get comfortable with this. The not knowing, the fear, being comfortable with being judged, all of that stuff, because those were major insecurities for me at the beginning. And there's this quote that I love. I don't remember who said it, something to do with being an entrepreneur is like jumping off of a cliff and building a plane on the way, right? You figure it out, right? And that's the thing is we didn't have a plan necessarily. I don't always, as much as we like to plan, the plan is sort of like a wish list. It doesn't always go that way. I had to learn so many times, and every time something else big comes up, I have to kind of push that ego out of the way and stop those insecurities from blocking me from going forward, right? Does
I
that make
love this.
sense? Yeah.
I love everything that you've said today. You're so insightful. You're so in tune with exactly what you need. It's just amazing to hear like the growth. I can just hear how much you've grown over the past 5 years with yourself, your confidence, your businesses. If people want to get in touch with you and ask you more questions about sort of your journey, or of course, look into SmartND, the software system you have, what's the best way?
Honestly, I'm kind of old school, so email, and I see old school, but email is the best way to get in touch with me. So anyone, I provided that to you. So anyone wanting to get in touch with me, send me an email and we'll connect. I'm always open to sharing, the truth of what we go through on a day-to-day basis. I have no shame in sharing those failures and, all of that kind of stuff. So
And the best website for you?
Probably my practice website would be www.awakenlife.me. And
Perfect.
then of course the smartnd.ca would be for more of the software, but to get in touch with me personally,
Awesome.
awakenlife.me.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Priya.
You are most welcome. Thank you so much. I'm so happy that you're doing this kind of thing. It's such a fantastic idea to put this out there, and I think so many people would tremendously benefit from this
Thank
on a
you.
regular basis. So it's great.
Keep up the amazing work. I wish you the best of luck with everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Andrea.
Bye, girl.
Bye.
So I hope that this interview has really inspired you to block your time appropriately, to think about strongly working with a business coach like myself to get your business really up and running, and to create some major strategies when it comes to how you continue to run your practice. Again, the worksheet for this podcast is on how you can create your beast mode time, your creative time, and hold true to that. And you can go to my website, maximizedbusiness.ca/beast mode, and download that right away. If you want to do a 30-minute strategy call with me, please book that in. Again, that's on my website on the tab that says strategy call. Otherwise, guys, I just love hearing from you in general. If you have questions or topics or something you want me to cover, let me know. Otherwise, take action, download the worksheet, and I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you as always for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.